Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Tzadik Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Tes Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan Yesh Choylitz Imay Masafik. There can be a situation where somebody will give chalitza to his mother Masafik LaChoyser Masafik to his sister in such a situation Labita Masafik and to his daughter. Even though, as we learned in the first Mishnah of our Masechta, that any person who's an erva to you is obviously not a candidate for chalitza or yibum. Here, there's a suffix, as we began discussing in our previous year, and because of the suffix, there may be an occasion to give someone who's your mother or your sister or your daughter chalitza. And the Brisa illustrates, Ketzet imai v'isha acheres, your mother and someone else, ulehem, Shnei Zecharim. Each one has a son. That means Yaakov married Rachel and he had a son Yosef. Reuven married Chana and they had a son Chetzrayim. Now Rachel and Chana had two more sons. V'yoldu Shnei Zecharim b'machpa. They had these two sons in a place where we aren't able to identify who is whom. U'bavana shazu, and then these two boys, who we don't know who their mothers are, got confused, and they died without children. That means Yaakov and Reuven died without children. Bob and Nashalza, and the son of one of the women, married the wife of each one of these sons. Yosef, Rachel's son, married Chana. And Chetzroin, the son of Chana, married Rachel, who's the mother of Yosef. And now Yosef and Chetzroin die without children. And since Umesu, Yosef and Chetzroin die without children, and their wives, their current wives, Rachel and Chana, fall to Yibum, the brothers of Yosef and Chetzroin. But we don't know who is Yosef's brother. And it's who is Chetzroin's brother. So because we don't know, each one of these individuals are going to have to give chalitza to each one of these women, even though one woman is his wife, is his mother. And this is where we end up as we began the shir. How does it turn out that you give chalitza to your sister? Imoy, the mother of Reuven, Rivka, who is the wife of Avram, and they had a son, Reuven. And now she is the wife of Yitzchak. And now we have another woman, Dina. And again, Yoldu stayed in the Kevus B'machba. They had two girls, two daughters. We don't know who is whose daughter. Oba Achayim, their father's brother, Reuven's father, Reuven's paternal brother, Shloima Yisaim, not from the same mother. That means Avram, the father of Reuven, was also married to Sarah. And they had children, Shimon and Levi. So Shimon and Levi and Reuven are paternal brothers, but not maternal brothers. V'nasam, and these two men, Shimon and Levi, married these two women, these two girls that were born, that we don't know who their mothers are, and they die without children. So these two women fall to Reuven for Yibam, who is their maternal, the husband's paternal brother. One is his maternal brother, and one is his paternal brother. So we don't know. One, the paternal brother's wife does chalitza. The other one isn't. But since we don't know who is who, he has to do chalitza to both. Nimtza chalitza l'choysa mesafik. Labita mesafik keitzad. Ishtai v'isha acheres. The wife of Reuven and the wife of Kalev. Yol d'shtein l'kevis v'machba had two daughters. But we don't know who's their mothers. Uba acheyem. And then we don't know who is the daughter of Reuven. and who was the daughter of Kalev. And their brothers, the brothers of Reuven or Kalev, who are their uncles, Venosim, marry them. And they die without children. And now they both fall to Reuven or to Kalev for Yibum. Since each one of them is a Suffolk, which one is his daughter and which is his sister, is not his daughter. So the question is, the halach is Zechayel Subitim Esafik, Zechayel Subitim Esafik. Each one of them is going to have to do a separate chalitza. Tanya Ramei Omer, Ish V'Isha. We could have another situation, comments Ramea, where we have a couple, Shemei lead them Chamesh Omais, that you could have, they could have children that are identified from five different nationalities. Ketzad, Yisrael Shalakach Ever V'Shivcha Menashok. A Jew buys an evidence shivcha for lunch nebonim, that they already had two children before they were bought by the Jew. Those children are not considered avodim because they weren't bought together with their parents. Niskayer echad mehem, one of those sons becomes a ger nimtza. So now we had two sons, and one son is a ger, a full-fledged Jew. And one son is an Akum. Hitbilam, the Yisrael then went and took this Eved v'Shivcha, who are married to each other, and took them to the mikvah and made them into Avadim Kananim. V'niskiku zeh l'zeh, they have relations. Harei kan ger. So now we have another nationality. We already had the ger because one of their sons converted. We have an Avik Chavim, their son who was born to them before they became Avodim, was a full-fledged Akum, and he remained an Akum. And we have the third son that is born to them after all of this. He is a Eved, because the son of an Eved, the son of an Eved is considered an Eved. Shichur as a Shivcha, if he then went and freed the Shivcha, so now she's a Yisraelis. Bala Eved, the Eved then has, he only freed the woman, he only freed the maid, but he didn't free the Eved Kanani. So we now will have, as all the Rishonim point out, this Brisa, Ramei is going according to an opinion that we've discussed previously in our Masechta, that Ramei's opinion is that Akum or Eved Habor Abbas Yisrael, if an Akum or an Eved have relations with a Jewish woman, the child will be a Mamzer. So this child who's born from a couple that have been married all along, but this couple's marriage, so to speak, has evolved. First they were husband and wife as non-Jews, then they were husband and wife as Avodim, and now they're husband and wife as he being an Eved, and she being a Jewish woman, so that child will be a Mamzer. So now we've identified, says the Gemara, four nationalities, so to speak. Ger, Ger, Eved, and as we just spoke about, a Mamzer. Now Shichur is Shneim. Now the owner freed the Eved as well. And once he frees the Eved, so the Eved that's freed and the Shivcha that's freed are full-fledged Jews. The Sion Zelazan, now they marry each other, two Jewish people, their child will be a full-fledged Yisrael. So we're going to have a situation of Harekan Ger, Fav Kechavim, Ve'Evet, Ve'Mamzu Yisrael. The same couple could have five different children who all have different statuses. The Aruch HaNer says, why can't we come up with a sixth status? And let's say they had another son after they both are Jewish, and that son sold himself for an Evri. So they would have the five that we just learned, plus an Evri Ivri. So the Aruch HaNer explains that an Evri Ivri is not considered a separate status. Rather, explains the Aruch HaNer, an Evri Ivri is a Jew who happens to have an obligation to work, but he's not considered a different status. So says the Gemara, what is the chiddush in this braisa? Says the Gemara, My Kamashmon, what we learn from this brisa, as we explained, that this brisa is teaching us that we follow the opinion that Avi Kachavim, Ve'ever Abba Bas Yisrael, Ve'ever Kachavim, Ve'ever Bas Yisrael, the halacha is that that child is considered a mamzer. Tan Rabbanim continues the brisa, Yesh Mocher as Aviv. We can have a situation where a son will sell his father in order to get for his mother haksuba. And the brisa illustrates. Ketzad, Yisrael lakach eved v'shivcha min hashuk. Yisrael buys an eved shivcha from the marketplace, v'lahem ben. And they have a son who he did not buy as an eved. V'shichra es shivcha. And now he freed the shivcha for nasa. And he married the And he married that shivcha who he freed, who is now a bas Yisrael. And he went and he wrote over all of his assets to his wife's son, who's not Jewish, because that son was born to his wife before she not only was a Yisraelis, but even before she was a shivcha. So, in those assets that he wrote over to his wife's son, is the Eved that he owns. Who is the Eved that he owns? The father of this non-Jew, who is the son of the Eved and the former non-Jewish woman who became a Shivcha and now became a Yisraelis. Nimtza, so what we now have is that the son owns the Eved. And the halacha is that if the father, if the husband, he's not his father, but if the husband of his mother passes away, and when a husband passes away, his estate has to pay out the ksuba. So what is included in that estate? His father, the avadim. So we'll see that the son, Meichers Aviv, will sell his father in order, l'habit lima ksubasa, in order to get his mother, her ksuba, paid out. Ask the Gemara, Michael Mashmalon, what is the chiddush? Of course, one's entire estate is obligated to the ksuba. Answers the Gemara, Kula Rameya, that the Bryce is following the opinion of Rameya, and Rameya holds the avdik metatli, that avodim are treated like metatlin, and just like the halacha is that one of all, just like one's all of metatlin are obligated to a ksuba, the avodim are also considered something that I can that are obligated to the ksuba, matatum shabdul ksuba. And Tosfos the very maskil points out that even though throughout Shas we often learn avodim hukshla kakos, that avodim have the same status for kakos, so how are we saying in our Gemara, as the Tosfos, that we're treating avodim like matatlin? Says Tosfos, not regarding all of halacha are avodim treated like metatlin. That's only regarding hilchos oinah. We know that there are halachas we're going to Mitzvah learn in Masechet Baba Metzia. What is the amount you could charge something that has a fixed price? Not you could only charge the price. If you charge more than a sixth above the price, the halacha is that that sale is null and void, etc. Says the Gemara that ain oinah l'kakos. When we speak about real estate, the concept of a nod doesn't apply. And that's what we say. The same is regarding avodim. Avodim also don't have the din of a nod. But as far as the ksub is concerned, the halacha is that avodim are treated like metatlan. Vibay say ma'akamashmalan, that the halacha is that avdik makarkadami, that the halacha is that according to Chachamim, the metatlin are not meshubah to the ksuba. But they hold that avodim have the same status as karka. And so Rameya holds avodim are treated like metatlin. And Rameya's opinion is that metatlin are obligated to the ksuba, and so too are avodim. The Chachamim hold that metatlin are not obligated to the ksuba. But real estate is meshubah to the ksuba. And as the Rishonim explained, a woman, when she's expecting to get a ksuba, relies on real estate, because real estate is something that's always going to be here. But metatlin are easily moved and easily sold. And he's teaching us that avodim, even though they're not as solid as mekarka is, but they're very reliable, and there's something that people in those days rarely sold. And therefore, as far as this halach is concerned, says the Gemara, we're learning that avodim have the same din as karka. Says the Mishnah, Ishish in the Sfar Vlad Vlad Kalosa. We have a situation that a woman has children, and a daughter-in-law they both have sons, but besides that they have sons, two of their sons that were born that are got mixed up, and we don't know who is the son of the mother and who is the son of the daughter-in-law. Hegdila Terevis for Nasu Nashim, and these two boys got married and Mesu, and they died without children, and we don't know who is the brother of whom. The sons of the daughter-in-law, the sons who are certainly sons of the daughter-in-law, could only do chalitza and not yibam, because shusafik eshes achiv. This woman maybe was married to his brother, but was maybe married to the eshes achiyaviv. Maybe the person is the mother's, is his grandmother's son. That means his father's brother. And you're not allowed to marry the wife of the father of your father's mother. So since we don't know which is your sister-in-law, what is a mitzvah sibum, and which is your aunt, but not only obviously is there no mitzvah sibum, but there's an avera of the dosoi. So the only option that the definite sons of the daughter-in-law can do is only do chalitza not yibam. Or b'nei zekena, but the sons of the mother of this daughter, of the mother-in-law of the daughter-in-law, ones, the people who are definitely her sons, could do chalitza yibam. Because the question on these women is either it's his sister-in-law, but a sister-in-law in a place where you're supposed to do yibam, so he'll be fulfilling a mitzvah. And if not, it's Eishes ben Achiv. It's his nephew's wife. And one is allowed to marry a woman who was married to his nephew. What about the other way around? Meisu Aksherim, the sons who are definite sons of the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law passed away without children. Hataruvus Lebnei HaZakena, these children who we don't know who their mothers are, as to the sons of the mother-in-law, chaltsim v'loy miyabim, can only do chalitza and not yibim. Because we don't know what this woman is to this individual. Is it eishes achiv, and therefore there's a mitzvah of yibim? Or is it eishes achi aviv, his uncle's wife, daidasai, which is asur? Lebnei akala, as far as the daughters of the, as far as the wives of the daughter-in-law, echet chaylitz, one should do chalitza first, because it may be a sister-in-law, and a sister-in-law can't get married until she has chalitza, otherwise she's yivam l'shuk, and then once she has chalitza for one of them, then the other one will do yibam. If it's his sister-in-law, fantastic, he did a mitzvah of yibam. If not, he married a woman. Kohenes shenesh arva v'lod v'vlad shevchasa. Now speaks the Mishnah about a case where a Kohenes son got mixed up with the son of her shivcha. They may eat truma no matter what. Why may they eat truma no matter what? Because no matter how we slice it, either he's a kohen or he's the eved of a kohen. And as we've learned so many times, the avodim of kohanim are allowed to eat truma. However, when we divide on the goyrin, when we divide by the warehouse, the truma, they only get one share. The Gemara is going to explain it. Neither of these two individuals can be metamla mesim, because one is a kohen, and we don't know which one is the kohen. Since we don't know which one is the kohen, neither could become tamei. Vein noisim noshim, they can't get married, bein sheris, bein psulus, because each one of them is either an evet or a kohen. So if he's an evet, he can't marry a regular Jewish woman. If he's a, he could only marry a shivcha. If he's a kohen, He can't marry a shifcha. He could only marry a regular Jewish woman. So each one of them excludes the other one from being able to get married. The Aruch HaNer points out that even though our Mishnah just said Eimetam L'Mesim, there are going to be certain Mesim that they can become Tamei. And that is when it's a father or a mother or a brother or a sister. Because Mamonavshach, if he's an Eved, an Eved is allowed to become Tamei. And if he's a Kohen, the halacha is, a Kohen can become Tamei to any one of these relatives. And therefore, well, no matter how we slice it, these are people that they can become Tamei to. Vim Higdila Terevis. So what should they do? When they become adults, Shichru Zezeh, each one writes a shtar shikra to the other one. And they write, if I am the owner and you're the Eved, I'm freeing you. And so too, vice versa. So now, there's no Eved here, but both of them are still a Safek Kohen. And therefore the halacha is, nois and noshim ruiz lakuna. The only women they can marry are women who a Kohen may marry. Furthermore, ve'imetam l'meisim. Since both of them are Safek Kohen, neither of them can become Tamei. They have to treat themselves as Kohanim l'chumra. Vim nitmu, but if they become Tamei, normally if Chas v'Shalom a Kohen becomes Tamei, he gets Malkus, he violated a serious Avera, they won't get Malkus because we can't know for sure that he's a Kohen. And as all the Rishonim explained the Mishnah, the halacha is that this would be a case of Asra Safik. Before a person does an Avera, in order that it should be an Avera for which you get Malkus, you have to be warned and said, if you will do this, you will get Malkus. But this, each one of these individuals, before they metame themselves, we can't tell them definitively, you're going to get Malkus for this Avera. Because we can't say definitively, you're going to get Malkus, because we don't know if he's a Kayan. That is what's called the Hasra Safik. And since it's considered a Hasra Safik, that's why we can't give him Malkus. They know him a Truma, but they may not eat Truma. Because one is a Kayan who's entitled to Truma. But the other one is a freed Eved who obviously may not eat Truma. The machlu, the loch is if they ate Eimashal Makayim V'chaimish. The loch is that if somebody eats Truma B'shagig, the loch is that he has to pay a Karen V'chaimish to the Kayan. They won't have to pay that Karen V'chaimish because each one of them could say that I'm a Kayan and I have a right to eat this. So as the Tosis points out, the chiv of a chaimish that somebody has to pay, the extra fifth, if somebody eats truma he has to pay, is not because he stole something from the kohen. That's the keren, that's the principle. The chaimish is for a kapara. But Tosis points out, what's going to happen here is, they're going to have to separate the chaimish, they're going to have to designate the chaimish, because without designating the chaimish, the person who ate truma that he wasn't allowed to eat won't have his kapara. But who was normally entitled to that chaimish? The kohen. Here, when the kohen comes to collect the chaimish, he's going to say to the kohen, I'm a kohen, I don't have to pay you the chaimish. So it says Taisfis that he has to designate the chaimish. And the Mishnah Melech says, not only does he have to designate the chaimish, he has to make sure that chaimish is designated from Chulin, but he doesn't have to deliver it, he doesn't have to actually give it to the kohen. Then Chalkim HaGoyrin, they're not allowed to get a shear of Truma, because a Yisrael, one of them is a Yisrael, he's an Eved Meshuchra, he's not entitled to Truma, or Meiches HaTruma, when they take off Truma from their own produce, they can't eat it, because each one of them is a Safik, that he's maybe Yisrael, and as we've learned so many times, a Yisrael may not eat Truma, a very serious Aveira, but he doesn't have to give it to a Kayan, because he could say that maybe I'm the Kayan, I don't have to give it away. And the halacha is that therefore he can't eat it, but he could sell it. Of course, Truma is not as valuable as Chulin, because it has these limited amount of eaters, but it still has some value, you could sell it to a Kayan. The Ritva asks, why are we taking that approach? The halacha is that Suffolk deraisa, we're dealing here with a Suffolk deraisa, and by Suffolk deraisa, which should be machmer, and therefore they should have to give the truma because of the Suffolk deraisa. So says the Ritva, the chiyuv of giving truma was only said to somebody who's certainly a Yisrael. An individual who certainly is a Yisrael has an obligation to give truma. These individuals who are not certainly a Yisrael, don't have a chiv to give truma. Others say that the issue would be taking something from the Kohanim. If you don't give them the truma, you're, so to speak, stealing from the Kohanim. Here you're not stealing from the Kohanim because they may be Kohanim and there's no issue of what's known as Gezel HaShevet. They ain't Cholkim Kachem Mikdash. They don't deserve a shear and a Kachem on the base of Mikdash. And as the Taisus HaRosh explains, if we just finished learning, they don't get shear of Truma, need we say that they don't get a shear of Kachim? So the Taisus, why did the Mishnah have to say this? Says Taisus HaRosh, Truma, people don't treat with the same level of seriousness as Kachim. So Truma, maybe we should say, we don't give them a shear, because we're concerned that if we give them a shear, they may come to eat it, which, as we just said, if they're not Kohanim, it's a serious Aveira. But Kachim, we don't, maybe we need not be concerned. That's why the Mishnah has to teach us that by Kachim, we know they're not going to eat it. Still, we don't give them a shear in the Kachim. Then, Chokim Olam Kachim Mikdash, they don't even get shear of the leather that is given out from the Kabbanas for a nice one, Kachim, Vayim Etzin Shalahem B'yadam. If a Bechor is born to them, so the halacha is, a Bechor born to Yisrael has to be given to a Kohen. Here, the Bechor that's born to them, they could say to Kohanim, so they don't have to give it to a Kohen. But on the other hand, they may not be a Kohen. And therefore is, as we're going to learn, we're going to have to wait till the Bechor becomes Balmum. And once it's Balmum, they could eat it. We know that when one shechts an animal, he has to give a part of the animal to the Matnas Kohuna. Here again, they could say that we're Kohanim, and we don't have to give the Matnas Kohuna. The Bechor that we just spoke about, they can't bring it as a carbon, but they can't eat it. They have to wait, but they don't have to give it to the Kohen. Rather, they wait year, they wait until it becomes a Balmum, and when it's a Balmum, anybody can eat a Bechor that becomes a Balmum. The nice and love, and summarizes the Mishnah, the din that we've been discussing so extensively, that we give these individuals Chumrei Kohanim and Chumrei Yisraelim. We treat them with all of the Chumris of both. Our Gemara, our Mishnah, has been speaking so extensively about a Suffolk Kohen. So there's an interesting discussion about how do we look at the Kohanim Bezman Hazeh. There are no Kohanim who we could say definitively are certainly Kohanim. And therefore there are many questions that come up. How do we treat the Kohanim Bezman Hazeh? The Rivash's opinion is that the Kohanim Bezman Hazeh are not treated as Vade Kohanim and they're treated only as Suffolk Kohanim. And he quotes a child's Tshuvas Marajdam, where there was a woman who was in captivity, and there was a question if she was violated while she was in captivity. And there's a woman who says that she wasn't. And the question is, normally a kohen may not marry a woman who was in captivity. There's an Issa Shvuya L'Kohen. What is going to be the halacha regarding this woman? Would she be allowed to marry a kohen? And Marajdam, based on this Rivash, takes the approach that since all the Kohanim Bezman Hazeh are Kohanim Misafik, coupled with the fact that we just mentioned that this woman has another woman who's testifying that nothing happened, we could be lenient. There's a tshuva in the Marit where there was an individual who was a family always identified as a person who are Kohanim. And now, this woman, this man, whose family always was identified as a family of Kohanim, wants to marry a woman who Kohen may not marry. And he wants to rely on the Rivash that the Kohanim Bezman Hazeh are Kohanei Safik, and maybe he could say, I don't believe I'm a Kohen. So the Marit takes a very, very serious approach to this, and he says that once we were Machzik, once we established that a person is considered a Kohen, we have no right to stake the position and say, well, the Kohanim Bezman Hazeh a Kohane Safik, the Rivash, and let him say, well, I'm renouncing my kahuna. I'm not prepared to accept that I'm a Kohanim. We have no right to do that. Moreover, there's an interesting tshuva in the Shailos Shiavitz. And he discusses that when we have a human Bechor, Baruch Hashem, we have to have a Pinyan HaBen. And what happens at a Pinyan HaBen? We give Chomis Sloim to the Kohen. So the question is that the Shailos Shiavitz discusses that maybe when we give the Chomis Sloim to the Kohen, we shouldn't have to give it. Because the Kohen tells the father of this Bechor that this is that I want the Chomis Sloim. And the father could say to him, you have to prove to me that you're a Kohen. And since you cannot definitively prove that you're a Kohen, you're not entitled to the money. And he even says a very bechidish, that not only can the father, the Kohen, not demand that he should get the Pinyan HaBen money, if he did get the Pinyan HaBen money, the father gave him, and then he hears what we're learning tonight, that the Kohanim are only considered Kohanim Misafik, he could go and demand that the money be returned to him. And moreover, says the Shailos Shiavitz, every time this Bechor should, this he says a number of Chidushim, he says a Bechor, so we make a Pinyan HaBen for our sons when they're 30 days old. Says the Shiavitz that a Bechor should keep, every time he meets an individual who claims to be a Kohen, he should do a Pinyan HaBen. Because he can't be certain that the Pinyan HaBen that he did originally, or that was done for him originally, was really a valid Pinyan HaBen. Maybe the Kohen with whom the Pinyan HaBen was done was not really a Kohen. Moreover, he says, we know that if the mother of this Bechor is a Bas Kohen or a Bas Levi, there is no need to do a Pinyan HaBen. Certainly if the father is a Kohen. But says the Shiavitz, since we're learning now that we can never be certain if a person who we believe is a Kohen is truly a Kohen, so even the individual who thinks he's a Kohen and the individual who thinks that his mother is a Bas Kohen or Bas Levi should have maybe a Pinyan HaBen, because maybe the pair, then he's not really a Ben Kohen, really he's not really, his mother's really not a Bas Kohen or really not a Bas Levi. The Chasam Sofer discusses this, and he says that he quotes the Shiavitz, the Chasam Sofer in Yerideyah Siman Reish Tzadik Aleph, and he says he disagrees with the Shiavitz. We could rely on the people who consider themselves Kohanim, even though we cannot know definitively that they are Kohanim, and so too is the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Shinhei Sif Chav Hei. We have no right, he says, to belittle the Kedusha of the Kohanim. The individuals who we consider are Kohanim, we should treat with the greatest respect and treat them as Kohanim. There's an interesting shaila that I saw that the Paiskim discuss. What is the halacha if we have an individual, the individual who we have been discussing in our Mishnah, who's a Safik Kohen? What is the halacha regarding a Safik Kohen? Should he do Birkus Kohanim or should he not? The Shvus Yaakov says that since if a Kohen is called up to the Duchen and he doesn't go up to the Duchen to do Birkus Kohanim when he's called up, he violates three mitzvahs asay, Koy Savarchu, Emelahem, and Vesama Shemi. Says the Shvus Yaakov, even though this individual is a Safik of his Kohen, the halacha is that he should do Birkus Kohanim. The many Achroinim disagree. many Achronim disagree. The Gilyona Shas says that he shouldn't go up. The Ksav Soifer says that he should. And so too is the opinion of Michas Chinuch. The Ksav Soifer and the Shvus Yaakov says that if you have an individual who is a Safek Kohen, he should go up. He should go up to do Birkus Kahanim, because if not, he may be violating three mitzvahs asay. We learned in the Mishnah Mesek Sheirim that the Mishnah, the Sheirim died. The Mishnah said Meswa Sheirim. So ask the Gemara, why? That means the one who are certainly the sons of the mother or the mother-in-law, of the mother-in-law or the daughter-in-law. So ask the Gemara, why are they considered the Sheirim? Ella Hanuch Meshum the Arvelhu, the other children, the sons of the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, who we don't know who their mothers are. So yes, there's a mix-up here. But ask the Gemara, Meshum the Arvelhu, Havel Psulim, because there's a mix-up, we're calling them Psulim. Says the Gemara, right, we have to change the wording of the Mishnah. Amra Papa Eima Mesa Vadoim. The proper wording of the Mishnah means that the people who are certainly know who their mothers are the ones who passed away. Bnei Kala, says the Mishnah, the Bnei Kala, Achad Chayelus V'Achad Miyabim. But says the Gemara, again, as we've been learning a few times tonight, Dafka Mechlas V'Hadu Yivume. First, one should do Chalitza, and then one should do Yibam. But don't do Yibam then Chalitza, because maybe the one that's doing the Yibam is really not the brother-in-law. And if he's not doing the brother-in-law, Kapaga B'Yivam L'Shuk. Kajshnas Arav We said that they get one portion in the Goyim. Says the Gemara, they should only get one portion. What's the Chiddush? Says the Gemara, Ema, that we only could give them their portions when they come together. But if we give them, let's say, half a portion to each when they're not there together, that we may not do. Says the Gemara, Tanan, our Mishnah supports Commander Omar that ain't chalkin truma levit. We never give truma to levit. Elm came Rabbi Imai only if his owner's with him. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, ain't chalkin truma levit. Elm came Rabbi Imai divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef miyachol shayim and kainani tenu b'shvil atzmi. We can give an evet truma because we can give each one of them truma by themselves, because each one of these people could say, if I'm a kohen, I'm entitled to truma because of myself. From ever kairani that I'm tried to truma b'shul rabbi, and therefore we don't have to have them come together. Mekayim sharuba, what's the says the word? What is the machloek is based on? Says the word mekayim sharuba imal truma liyuchsit. So we see somebody getting truma, we're going to assume that he's a full fledged kayan, and therefore we can't give somebody who's a suffolk evet suffolk kayan truma, because people may mistakenly believe that he's a kohen. Just because we see somebody getting truma, that doesn't mean that he's going to be identified as a kohen. I never said edus besides once, and in this time, whoever was made into a kohen because of me. Hello, Saka Datach. Ask the Gemara, is that actually what happened? Ask the Gemara, Hashtu Behemtosh Tzadikim, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu Mevi Tekol HaYodam. The Gemara says that the Behem of Tzadikim, a Kodesh Baruch Hu protects the Behemoth of Tzadikim, that they should, nothing bad should happen because of them. Tzadikim Atzmam, certainly a Kodesh Baruch Hu protects. So how could have happened that because of the Tzadik made such a huge mistake? It almost happened. Chaza, Rabbi Loza saw Ba'asid Rabbi Yosei. They saw in Rabbi Yosei's place that they were giving truma to someone. And based on that, he went and said, Ba'asid Ba'asid Rabbi Yehuda, that he must be a Kayan. Where in Rabbi Yehuda's place, anybody who got truma, they identified as a Kayan. And that almost happened, if not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected him. There's a discussion, Tosfos says, in many places that Tosfos takes out this entire Gemara. Because Tosfos says that when the Gemara says, offered in Shas, this statement, Hashtu behemtan shal tzadikim, en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi tekol yodom, tzadikim atzma loy kalshkein, is only regarding Macholas Asuris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects that tzadikim should not eat something that's not kosher, because something that's not kosher is metamtem libam shel adam. Here we're not talking about eating. Here we're talking about making somebody into a kohen. That's not something that involves food, and therefore says Tosfos, this rule of hashta behemtos shel tzaddikim and a kadosh baruch hu, maybe tzaddikim doesn't apply here. So the Shema Shmuel asked the question. The Gemara says, Hashta behemton shel tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects, certainly the tzaddikim itself. So ask the Shema Shmuel that, how is that? So he quotes the Medrash at the beginning of Parashat B'chukosai. The Medrash says at the beginning of Parashat B'chukosai, that David HaMelech says, Cheshavti derachai v'shiva ragale el edesecha. Explains the Gemara, what that means was, David HaMelech said, "B'chayoyim v'yoyim, every day I had the plan, the base plan, I'm going here, I'm going there, v'ragli, my liches I see the base of Medrash, and my feet would take me to the base of Medrash." Says the Shema Shmuel, that just like David HaMelech's feet took him to the base of Medrash by themselves, says the Shema Shmuel, whatever we possess are considered our raglayim, are also considered an extension of ourselves. And therefore the halacha is that, just like the tzaddik is protected, and that's what he says is pshat in the Medrash, that the tzaddik is always protected, that he should always end up in the right place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu even protects his assets, that they should always also end up in the right place.